Saturday View on Midlands 103. With thanks to Lumclean Energy, pioneering innovation, powering progress. LumcleanEnergy.com. Have your say. Call 0818 300 103. Text or WhatsApp your Saturday View to 083 3010 103.
And a very good morning to you. How are you all doing on a what seems to be a bit of a wet, misty, dull Saturday out there? But anyway, things are going to get lively here in the studio for the next hour. Coming up, we're going to look at that horrific vandalism that's taken place in graveyards, particularly in Port Laois at the minute, so much so that there was a big meeting there on Tuesday night, and the outcome of that seems to be that additional Garda patrols may be required. There'll be an investment possibly needed in CCTV in order to try and stop what's happening over there. And it begs the question, why is it happening? I mean, graveyards are such a sacred place, that place we can go to remember a loved one. What compels somebody to do damage to a grave, to a headstone, to the various memorials that you might have left in a graveyard? If you're somebody who's experienced that vandalism, be it in Port Laois or anywhere across the Midlands, please let us know. 083 3010 103 is a text and WhatsApp number, or you'll get us on 0818 300 103. Nelly is out there, happy to take your call. And if you want, even come on air and tell me what happened and tell me about your own experience of that too. But later we'll be joined by county councillors from County Laois to talk about what the latest update on that is. And I'll also bring you back to October last year in Eden Derry, when dog fouling was a major issue in a graveyard over there. So we'll hear about that and maybe what the outcome of that was. Did they have to do and take any mitigating measures, and what actually happened in the end? So love to hear your views on that. We'll look at what's also happening around the Midlands too in terms of potholes and roads. Unfortunately, more road deaths. We see 25 deaths now in 47 days. What is happening out there, and what can we do to kind of prevent and halt those statistics? But that and lots more other stuff coming up. But speaking of, like I kind of touched on it there earlier about gravestones and something that you wonder, how could somebody ever do it? Well, to kind of lighten the mood a little bit for the first part of the show, I'm going to talk about something I think I could never do. And stand-up comedy is that very thing. It is meant to be probably, as often put out there, has been possibly the hardest art form, the hardest way possible to make a living. Putting yourself out there in front of crowds of people every night, telling jokes, telling yarns, telling tales, in the hope of getting a laugh from an audience. It sounds like something that the majority of us would balk at and run a mile from. That's what you think. Because over the last number of years, there's been a few rounds of Strictly Stand-Up run in Tullamore, a fundraising event that takes 10 or 12 really, really brave local people, puts them on a stage, gets them to tell jokes to all their loved ones, to friends and to the community at large. And this morning you're going to meet some of the latest victims, sorry, volunteers for that charity event. I'm delighted to be joined now by Tony McCormack and by Kevin Heffernan. Very good morning, gents.
Good morning, Ronan. How are you?
Tony, tell us more about Strictly Stand-Up.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's something that started about 7 or 8 years ago, and it was kind of the brainchild of myself, Emmett Lynch, and the late Albert Fitzgerald, who was the CEO of the radio station here. And what we did was we got Carol Spain, who was an international comedian from Limerick, and Carol came along and we discussed our idea, and he was game ball to join in and work with us. So what we do is we take 10 or 12 people from right across the Tullamore area and environs, from different walks of life. We've had people, we've had priests, we've had doctors, we've had politicians, we've had TDs, local politicians, we've had doctors, as I said, with dentists, we've had hairdressers, barbers, you name it, every profession and every walk of life has been covered. And what we do is we get Carol to take them in for 4 workshops, put them through their paces, and then at the end of it then they go out and perform on stage in front of their friends, family and whoever else comes on the night. It's a fantastic opportunity for somebody that has an idea that they'd like to be a stand-up comedian, or for somebody who just wants to go out there and perform in front of somebody for the first time. It's an excellent way of doing that. But as I said to you, Carol puts an awful lot of time and effort into it. He brings the people onto stage, gets them comfortable in their environs, and then talks to them. And normally what happens is that people will tell stories of things that happened to them, but Carol is there then to help them along the way with regards to how to go about that and where to put in the gags and how to actually say it. and to have a pause when you need a pause, and then to wait for the audience to give you applause or give you laughter and then move on to your next story. So it's all about timing, and he's there to make sure that everybody puts in a good shift and they get applause on the night. It's not like, say, going to a gig, a professional gig, because the people that are there willing you on. It's like a best man speech, as is the way Carol explained.
Which, in
it.
Fairness now, daunts a lot of people.
Well, absolutely, yeah. But I suppose, look, the four workshops kind of takes a lot of the fear out of performing on the night. But then you get butterflies, and I suppose nerves. Every performer gets nerves. And sometimes that's a very, very good thing, because it makes you concentrate and makes you focus on the night, and it actually, in a lot of cases, makes performing an awful lot better.
You've raised significant money for multiple charities over the years as well, and who's the particular focus this year?
I suppose what happened was, back in the day, when before Albert passed away, as a member of the Rotary Club, we had decided that we would do an event, and the comedy event was the one that was chosen, to raise money for the Arts Centre. And unfortunately, as I said to you, Albert passed away, so this is our opportunity to fulfil what Albert had already started. And we're looking forward, as I said, it's going to be held for the first time in the Arts Centre. And all the money raised is going to go towards the running of that fantastic facility that we have there, only opened last year. And I suppose it has grown from strength to strength in the time it has opened. And we want to make sure that it lasts, because there was a huge amount of funding required for the actual building. We got 2 million back in 2008 when Brian Cowan was Taoiseach. And unfortunately, the building never happened, and we stuck with it. And I was on the Arts Committee at that time. We stuck with it, and eventually we had to raise another 2.5 million from Offaly County Council. And we had a very strong CEO, Anna-Marie Delaney, who's still there now, who came in front of the councillors and asked us to support a loan for 2.5 million for Offaly County Council in order to make sure that the Arts Centre happened. And that was back in about 5 years ago. So the Arts Centre is there now. It's going to cost a lot of money to keep it open and to keep it going. And I suppose we're very much in our first year. And as business people out there know, that in your first year in business, you very, very rarely make money. So we want to make sure that we put our efforts in to make sure that they have enough money to keep going into the future.
Like all these things, you need people. So when it comes to getting volunteers for something like a Strictly stand-up comedy night, I'm sure it's a really easy task.
Oh, I think we're kind of running low at the moment. It used to be family and friends of the people that were organising it. We soon ran out of those. Then we went further afield, and that's kind of drying up as well. This time round, I suppose, we put a call out on Facebook, and we got back in 5 or 6 people from Facebook, and then there were people that I had to twist their arm that owed me favours. We got them in as well. So we have 11 people performing on the 1st of March, Friday the 1st of March, which is 2 weeks away now. And I have to say, it's going to be a fantastic night. The tickets are available on the Esker Arts website. There are not very many left. So I would say to anybody out there that's listening, that is interested, to get online straight away, because, to be honest with you, I'd say after the weekend it'll be sold out.
Fair play to you. Yeah, that's massive, I suppose. And again, the people, as I say, are everything to that too. And one of those people is Kevin Heffernan, and he's sitting across from me. He looks as calm as anything, because he's probably getting used to being in front of audiences now. Kevin, did you volunteer? Were you harangued into it?
No.
How did it come about for you?
No, I volunteered. Well, I actually thought it was something else, actually. Because when I seen the advertisement on Facebook, I seen Carol Spain's face on it, and I thought he was performing at the theatre. So, because we had seen him in Dublin supporting Kevin Bridges, and I said to the wife, oh, we'll go to that. She said, oh, go for it. I said, go for what? Oh, they're looking for 2 more to go for the stand-up. So I thought I might as well, because I had experience of it, so I thought I'd do it.
And how's it been so far? You've been through a couple of workshops with Carol Spain at this point, have you?
But it's a bit wasted on me, because I have 40-odd years' experience of doing it, so, because I'd done it before.
So you're able to teach the rest of them how to do it
anyway.
I hope you've new material now.
Kevin has been very modest, I suppose. Kevin's background is that he'd done the workmen's clubs in London and other stadiums as on his own in the workmen's clubs, but actually warm-up acts for other people on tours in the UK. So we're learning from Kevin and Carol.
And Carol, well, speaking of a certain Carol Spain, he joins me on the line now. And a man, as Tony described him earlier, as an international comedian, he also described him as Ireland's most sustainable comedian, such as his ability to recycle a good joke. Very good morning, Carol.
Good morning. I'll just take the compliment out of that. And we should be doing more recycling. That's why I did that with the team.
Fair play to you. Carl, what's it been like? You're back in Tullamore again, working with a team of people. I suppose guys like Kevin are probably making you pull your socks up this year.
It's great. No, Kevin is the one person I can't teach anything to. I'd say his set was written in 1982 and he's ready to go.
Exactly.
So plenty of recycling going on there anyway. How are you finding with the rest of participants then, you know, given that most people have zero experience in actually being on stage, yet alone doing stand-up comedy?
Well, some of them have minor experiences. They might be part of drama groups or involved in this and things. Over the years, we've had politicians, priests, all sorts, teachers. So people who have spoken in public, and that's always a bit of an advantage. Radio DJs, so I should get Tony to sign you up for next year.
I'm barred from doing it, actually, unfortunately.
You've most of the experience done already, you know, but you're talking into a mic as a presenter. But I think we've a very good batch this year. I was very optimistic after the first workshop, and as it's gone on, getting more and more so. I'm falling in love with Tullamore over the years with all the different people and characters I meet. And I'm looking forward to it now being in the Esker Arts Centre. We had we used Lynch's for years, and it was a great room, and we had some great crack over there. I will be performing on the night. I should tell Kevin that as well. I'll be performing with him. You'll still get to see me, Kevin.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful event. It's genuinely, over the years, the different people that have done it, they've come back and supported it the following years. You know, it's a great joy to be able to do stand-up comedy once and have it really work. Because then you can watch telly and go live at the Apollo or whatever and go, oh yeah, I did that and I was a huge success. So it's just about guiding them through their stories and getting the value out of what their stories are. Everyone has funny stories. Everyone has a story to tell that they make, and I try and help make it a little bit funnier or make it more stage presentable. So I might just go cut out a bit of the waffle there or shorten that or maybe say that. And I always give the one example. I mentioned the priest, the example. Tony knows exactly where I'm going now, which was the priest had a story about his dog going missing and everyone thought he'd gone missing. And I gave him a suggestion of a line, and he goes, oh, I couldn't say that. And then he said it on the night, and the joke was that his housekeeper was on the phone saying, well, the last time I saw him, he was running around the garden. All he had on him was his collar, which destroyed the room on the night. It was, you know, everyone thinking, people thinking it was the dog, but then him. But it was great. It's great fun. I love doing it every year. And I'll tell you, Tony is some man. I don't know how he finds so many of these people and characters. I mean, like, talk about after 10 years, he finds a guy with 40 years of experience.
Yeah, well, in fairness, he is a politician, so he knows how to find people and get them involved and get them out to vote anyway. So he's an old hand at that. Quick one for you, Carl. I know you're all the way down in Limerick, but is there a specific kind of Midlands or Offaly humour that you notice that would be different from the rest of the country?
I wouldn't, because people have, some of them are from different parts of the world as well. But there's a nice offhandness or not, you know, not taking themselves too seriously. I've met it. One of the women this year, she's an ex-nurse. And I was like going, oh, tell us some of the stories. And she's like, I don't know. And we're kind of getting the stories as the workshops go on. She's opening up a little bit more and telling us more and more stories. And They're very funny stories, and I'm hoping she gets them all out on the night on the 1st of March.
Well, I'd say nobody better set up to do it as well. Carol Spain, thank you so much for that. And look, you'll be seen in Tullamore on Friday the 1st of March, and all the very best as you keep prepping these people for the stage as well. Kevin, it sounds like you're intriguing people, I'd say, in terms of what's lined up. And Tony, for yourself, I'd say just well done, another fantastic event, and sounds like a good one.
Yeah, no, it is, and it will be. And I suppose, look, all the participants we've had up to this, nobody has failed on stage. Everybody has done well, and I don't think anybody in this group will fail. They'll do very, very well. In fact, I think this group we've had is probably the best group we've ever had, but I say that about them all anyway.
Of course you will as well, fair play to you. Sell anything. That's Tony McCormack there and Kevin Heffernan. They're taking part in Strictly Come Stand Up. It's a fundraising event for Esker Arts Centre in Tullamore. And you heard from Carol Spain there, international comedian, as he was described. Over the past week, huge attention has been drawn to acts of vandalism at a graveyard in Portlaoise. This is kind of similar to an issue raised in Offaly last October, when dog fouling was put down as being a major issue and concern, and indeed it's something that was happening in a graveyard in Edenderry. And I just asked before the break there, and if people had any experience and if they were noticing this in their communities, and the texts to say are flying in. One texter has said, dog fouling happens in a lot of graveyards. It's so disrespectful. That's a Kilrehan graveyard in Forban has loads of signs up that no dogs allowed, but people that bring their dogs into the graveyard and don't clean up after them. Somebody else has texted in to say that in Derren Salla graveyard in Borison Ostrey, somebody is dumping rubbish at the end of the car park outside of the graveyard. So there we go, dumping rubbish, dog fouling. Somebody else has texted in to say that it's unreal what happened in Portlaoise graveyard when there was tombstones broken and marble tombstones that cost thousands of euro. They go on and use a few expletives there to describe the people who potentially have done that to these graves that mark the final resting place of many people's young ones, loved ones, sorry. This texter is also asking, why isn't the CCTV in the graveyard and more Garda on patrol? Well, that is, I suppose, linking us to a meeting that happened in Portlaoise recently. I think it was last Tuesday evening, and it was attended by members of the council, by Gardaí, by other local politicians and community leaders, and it was to address the recent vandalism at Portlaoise Cemetery, where at that point up to at least 7 headstones had been damaged. So to find out more about maybe what took place at that meeting and what the outcomes were and if any action has been taken since, I am delighted to be joined by Thomasina Connell. Thomasina Connell is a Fine Gael councillor at Laois County Council and a solicitor in Laois too. Very good morning, Thomasina.
Good morning, Ronan.
Thomasina, take us back to the meeting there on Tuesday evening. What were the kind of key points raised in that?
So I attended a special meeting that was convened at Laois County Council, and the 7 elected members in the Portlaoise MD were all there, all of the councillors, the cemetery committee members, and also 6 members of An Garda Síochána, to include Superintendent Eamon Curley and Community Policing Sergeant Jason Hughes. So I suppose, look, the meeting was convened as a result of disgusting vandalism that occurred at Portlaoise Graveyard on the previous week in the course of Thursday night into Friday morning, where somebody entered the graveyard and destroyed and destructed a number of headstones, causing extreme distress. The families involved. There doesn't seem to be any, pattern to this. It seems very random. There's nothing targeted about this. It just seems to be a kind of a crime of opportunity, hooliganism. So the meeting was excellent. Eamon Curley, the superintendent that was present, gave an excellent brief on what his plan is with his members that were there on how they intend to tackle this. And he explained that since the 24th of January 2024, that the Gardaí in Portlaoise have rolled out what's called sectorial policing. And what that is certain members of the Guards are responsible for certain pockets of Portlaoise. So there's 2 Gardaí committed to the area of the cemetery now in Portlaoise, and them, together with other Gardaí, will be conducting patrols ongoing. And I also understand that some of those patrols have already taken place. The meeting discussed a lot of potential solutions. CCTV and lighting are the big ones. CCTV isn't currently in existence in Portlaoise Cemetery. And I know some people might say, well, look, you know, is it appropriate? But I think the way things are gone, we have no choice. And that's what we have to look at. And that's what we called on Laois County Council to do, to look into that and to see how is this going to be funded. The money will have to be got, and CCTV is going to have to be put in place at certain points in Portlaoise Cemetery to deter people to think that they can get away with this sort of thing.
Yeah, it seems, you know, it seems crazy that we're having that discussion about needing to put CCTV and Garda patrols. I mean, at a time when, you know, there's always talks about, you know, the best use of Garda time, you know, putting them on patrol in the graveyard. It just seems ridiculous, but yet there's clear need for this. But back in June 2021, I mean, there was another, councillors were calling for installation of CCTV in the graveyard after cars had driven over graves. You begin to ask the question, like, what is propelling somebody to go to a graveyard and cause acts of vandalism? This was a one-off incident, but it was a single incident as well. Was there any kind of commonality in the graves that were attacked? Like, was there certain types of graves, headstones? Did they go for high headstones, or was it just extremely
random? Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Not that I'm aware of, no. And, you know, look, whenever vandalism takes place, it has to be, we have to make every effort to stamp it out. And I have to say, I was very confident and pleased with Garda response. You know, this is a crime. The Garda responded. There's an investigation underway. They've taken forensics. Scenes of crime were up there. So it's my belief that I believe very, very strongly that the person that did this is going to be caught and brought up to the board.
Yeah, you
and I'm very confident that's going to happen.
Yeah, you would like to think so as well. In terms of, I suppose, the reaction from a council perspective, then, if it is coming to rolling out CCTV, you'd obviously get a cost on that, find out what the maintenance costs are. How quickly can something like that be brought in? Is it something that could be a two-year project, or could it be rolled around very quickly?
I wouldn't see this being a two-year project. I mean, I couldn't say right now what a timeline would be, but I wouldn't be accepting a two-year timeline on this. This is a matter of extreme urgency. And I think as well, people, you know, whose loved ones are buried there, they want to be able to go there. It's a place of solace. It's a place of prayer. And I really want the community in Portlaoise to be able to deliver this as quickly as possible, because it is very urgent for people not to be worried about what's going to happen to their grave and if this is going to happen again.
Have you spoken to any of the families of the gravestones that were vandalised?
I haven't spoken to any of the families directly, but I do understand that the Gardaí have been liaising with at least five of the families involved. And I suppose, look, when I heard it, I was very, very upset hearing it, and I extend my deepest sympathies to the families involved. I suppose it's massively upsetting, and obviously there's the emotional cost, there's now a financial cost of having to repair those headstones in due course. You know, so it's extremely distressing for them.
And is that a cost too that is actually at the minute directly under the, you know, it's up to the families to do that, because I'm sure there's no insurance on gravestones, or is it something that the council could look at intervening on?
I can't see any other way. I mean, you'd like to think the person who did this and brought the book would be forced to make a contribution to whatever repairs have to be undertaken, or, you know, I mean, look at in time, maybe it's something that we could look at fundraising at, but there's no mechanism at the moment for any insurance policy that I know of that would contribute to repairing these headstones.
So it's something that you don't think you should need to take insurance out and on protecting a headstone. But just stay on the line for a few minutes. Yeah, absolutely. So just stay on the line with us, Thomasine, as well. I'm going to bring another person to this conversation. One person has texted in to say, to be fair, you can't compare someone dumping or someone's dog fouling to acts of desecration on actual graves and graveyards, that the people who did this need to be found and made an example of. It's disgusting. Imagine the disgust of the poor people whose loved ones were vandalised. I hope those thugs' parents are proud of them. Echoing in some ways what Thomasine Connell has said there, that, you know, like, let's try and find who did this and see, can at least be prosecuted for it. So that's an interesting one. I suppose we're not really comparing. It is very different, I suppose, if a dog fouls in a graveyard. Question is, if somebody's dog fouls on a grave and they deliberately don't pick it up, is that equally as bad an act? You know, let me know what you think as well. If somebody, you know, if it's accidental, let's forgive that. But yeah, is it comparable to actually breaking and dismantling a gravestone? Possibly not. Let me know what you think as well. But thanks for your text on that. But I'm going to bring Councillor Noel Cribben from Eden Derry, he's a member of Offaly County Council, into the conversation as well. Because back in October last year, he labelled it a total disgrace, the level of dog fouling that was taking place on graves in Eden Derry. A very good morning, Noel.
Yeah, good morning.
Was this a recurring issue, and what has happened since? Like, did you do anything to try and prevent it from happening?
Yeah, well, to be honest about it, the papers and and social media have kind of quietened it. It was basically it was people that was living close by that had their loved ones buried and were going for a walk every morning, bringing the dog, and some people would let the dog off the lead, and the dog would tip off around the place, and then it was, you know, and it done this business on somebody's grave, and, you know, very hurtful and very not very nice to come on it, but. That was 6 or 8 months ago. The whole thing has died down, to be honest about it. And thankfully, so the people that were doing it, I'd say, to be honest about it, they didn't realise it. And once the word got out, that kind of stopped it. Now look, that's not to say that it won't happen tomorrow or it can happen tomorrow. Dogs are dogs, but they stopped it, and they looked after it, and they picked up after him, and that's fair enough, but. To hear what's going on in Port Leitrim, that's unbelievable. And it must be dreadful, upsetting to the families that's involved to go down and see that. That's the last thing you'd think of. You think in a graveyard, everything is safe and sacred, but God, that's a new one to me.
You can only imagine the hurt. Did the county council or the graveyard committee, did you look at installing, bins for dog waste, rotten like that, in order to, because sometimes if it happens, people need a place to dispose of dog waste.
There is bins in the graveyard, and I take it that the people were using them there. But look, it's on the street as well. It happens not so much. Thankfully, we have all our doggy bags around town, and people use them, and you see them there picking them up, and you see them doing stuff. Look, 90% of people that walk their dogs do actually, pick up after them. And it's the same few. It's like in everything, every part of life, it's the same few that'll do what they want and just won't play a game, won't play a ball with the normal stuff that people... would expect, but it's not as bad as it was, that's for sure,
And is there a CCTV footage in the graveyard in any case, or is it around the area that if there was acts of vandalism or any sort of inappropriate behaviour there that the CCTV might pick up? Is there any in that area at the minute?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we haven't CCTV in the town, never mind the graveyard. So we're looking for the town, and I would hate to have to go to the expense of putting cameras down in the graveyard. That's a sacred place for people to go to do their own thing and sit and pray or sit and think or whatever, And I don't think, look at what happened in Port Leitrim, is dreadful, but to have to go to the rounds and the cost of putting up cameras, it's surely only one person that's doing this. This is not a thing that there's several people doing. Yeah. So,
and it's, but it's not.
Like,
it's
hopefully
not,
that person is caught sooner rather than later.
Absolutely, and it's not uniquely linked to the Midlands. That even I think about a year or two ago, there was issues in Glasnevin Cemetery where a famous necrology wall was being attacked, and actually former Justice Minister Charlie Flanagan criticised it as a victory for bullies when they decided to kind of reconfigure what they were doing. So, like this is happening, unfortunately. Yeah. But that question on CCTV, and you mentioned it being such a sacred, special place for people. I suppose the question is where the cameras go. Can they catch people on the way in or on the approach roads? I suppose, Thomasina, from a legal perspective, is this something that maybe things like data protection could actually stall and maybe push and delay the installation of security cameras?
There was an issue in relation to how the GDPR, basically how the information from cameras was collected. But actually the legislation to overcome that issue was resolved last Friday week. The minister actually brought in the legislation. So that's there now. So I think a lot of people would have been aware of, we can't use CCTV for anti-dumping. That's gone now. We can use the footage from CCTV. That GDPR piece has been overcome. Ron, there was just one piece that I think it's really important to say in relation to the crime in Port Leitrim Cemetery. People in the community, there must be somebody or people that know who did this. And I would ask that if people know something or anything, or even saw something small that they think is insignificant, that they go to the Gardaí, either to Superintendent Curley or to Sergeant Jason Hughes, or indeed any member of the Gardaí, and report any information that they have in relation to this crime. Because I think it's essential that we try and stamp out offences like this, and whoever did this is caught.
Absolutely, and I think that even just for the family's sake and for them to just... not to bring closure to it, but maybe to get some sense that, look, we know what happened, and maybe that it's not, it's not a personal attack on them, it's just a random act of violence. But I think any information, I think lots of people would echo that call. Noel, you want to come in there?
Yeah, look at, back up there what Tommy Sheen is saying there, and it's great now that the GDPR thing is, that's resolved, and that the CCTV cameras can go up around, like in towns, like in Eden Derry here, we're looking for it. I'm involved in this since 2013, 2014. It's been going on that long, so I'm delighted now that that's resolved and we can go ahead and do it. And I like CCTV really does play its part, and it can cut out a lot of antisocial behaviour going on at night time and, you know, on the streets. So let's bring it on. That's what I'd like to see, and that's what I'll be looking for and going.
Let's have
going
it there
forward.
That basically
have it there
as well.
In Eden Derry and every town. Yeah.
One texter has texted in to say, like, hi Ronan, hear your guests saying the same people do not pick up after their dogs. Where are the litter wardens? Everyone should pick up or be prosecuted. Well, I think the key part, I know from my view on that, is everyone should pick up. I know myself, you go on walking trails now and you can see where people have gone to the bother of picking up dog, you know what, yeah, putting in a bag and then flinging the bag into the ditch. And that now, that rankles me as well. So, you know, I think absolutely it's down to our own personal responsibilities and stuff like that. But Noel Cribben, thank you so much for coming on with me this morning.
And, no problem.
You know, and again, it goes to show it's an issue that is happening too. But as Noel points out there, they're looking for a CCTV in Eden Derry Town, never mind just the graveyard as well. And what are the next steps, you think, Thomasina, on this one? You know, extra Garda patrol, CCTV. What in the meantime, what can be done? Is there
so one of the crucial points here in relation to the investigation of the Portlaoise Cemetery issue? Our crime prevention officer in the Gardaí, Carter Graham Kavanagh, is to prepare a report in relation to this crime and investigation, and he's going to provide that report, which will set out what he recommends in terms of crime prevention in the cemetery. So, whatever he says, we will do in Leash County Council. All the members and all the Leash County Council staff are behind this to make sure that this is stamped out. I suppose my own sense of it is that what's probably going to be recommended is additional lighting and CCTV. But whatever is recommended by the Gardaí in order to prevent any further occurrence like this, we're going to do it.
Absolutely. Very strong words indeed. Thomasina Connell, Fine Gael Councillor for at Leash County Council, thank you so much for that this morning. I'm just going to get to a few more of your texts there as well. Ms. Texan said, no respect for the living, never mind the souls at rest. In the past, people would never walk on a grave and would never damage or take something from the grave. Our standard of respect is gone. Such a pity that people who passed on this can't be left to rest, or passed on can't be left to rest in peace. Respect, big question mark, and that came in there from John. So do you tend to agree with John? Our standard of respect is gone. I certainly know there was a time you would never consider walking on a grave unless for absolute reasons, to maybe change a flower, or if you were involved in a funeral or something like that. That have we lost that sense of respect of walking on graves? Let me know. 083 3010 103 is the text and WhatsApp number. Somebody else texted in and said, Ronan, cemetery are in control of council, so would not be responsible for any damage. The cemeteries are in the control of the council. So, yeah, interesting point as well. I mean, who is actually responsible for it? I mean, it is just a horrific act and a horrible act of violence. Another listener has said, lock them, you know, up so they shouldn't be let walk the streets. They are sick. You can give my name, no problem. They're being dragged up, so they should be made pay for each tombstone they broke, and the parents should be made pay for the damage that their sons done, and no respect, dirty scumbags. Now, we don't know whether they're sons. We don't know whether what age they are, whether their parents are around, but you can absolutely gauge and get a sense of your anger out there, because it just seems to be that sacred place, that one place where we can go to remember loved ones. Imagine what it was like turning up there last week and finding your tombstones, you know, and lots of people might have saved hard and put lots of money into developing and getting their graves done, and to find that happening must have been sickening. Thanks there to Thomasina Connell and to Noel Cribben there for their input on that. Lots of you really getting vocal about that issue, and I haven't found anybody certainly condoning the vandalism. Everybody is very, very upset and irate about that, and I think understandably so as well. You can see that, you can get the tone from the text I've read out there earlier, and some people are really, really, you know, really upset about it, like, you know, the fact that the gravestones could be vandalised in that way, even down to call them more minor issues like dog poo being left on graves or not being picked up or not being cleaned up after, particularly, and it could be accidental, it could be ignorance, who knows, but it's happening, and it's happening across, and as I pointed out, these issues are happening right across the country as well, and it looks like another thing where we're going to have to get CCTV footage installed in graveyards to make sure it doesn't happen. Surely that can't be, but as Noel Cribben pointed out as well, they're looking for CCTV cameras across Eden Derry for quite a while now, but Yeah, it's a huge issue. Keep your texts coming in. 083 3010 103, the text or WhatsApp number, or 0818 300 103 if you want to just give us a phone call and come on and tell me what you think as well. Just going to give you a quick reminder, tomorrow in the Tullamore Court Hotel, the Midlands 103 Green Home and Energy Show is taking place. A fantastic event lined up. Lots of stuff. If you're looking at anything to do with decarbonising your own lifestyle and reducing that carbon footprint, you can win hundreds of euros off your solar panel installation just by showing up at the event tomorrow. You can jump on the latest range of e-scooters and you can discover how SEAI grants can work for your house as well. That's taking place in the Tullamore Court Hotel tomorrow, Sunday the 18th, and it is on from, I think it is 1 to 5pm or something, I just can't see it, but midlands103.com is the website. You can find out more how you get on. Another person's texted in and said, Ronan, they have sheep in the old graveyard in Clareen. It's a disgrace and nothing done about it. Really? Sheep in the graveyard? That's unusual, but obviously something that's happening, and it's something that really is annoying our listeners as well. People are talking about antisocial behaviour. There is no punishment. Now, the caller hasn't said who they are, where they're from, but they're suggesting that there's no punishment out there for issues of antisocial behaviour like that. And I suppose that's it. Very hard to catch people in an incident like that, that are so sporadic and so isolated. It's very hard to actually catch people in the act. The CCTV cameras hopefully would do that and at least catch it and bring about a prosecution, or maybe in the first instance be at least enough of a deterrent that it wouldn't actually happen as well. Somebody else has texted in and said, hi, Mount Melick Cemetery is turning into a dance hall. Elvis Presley was belting it out the other day. Where were we? Only 1 mile away. And when you have scumbags throwing their fag butts in other people's graves, so it's an issue out there, folks. People aren't happy with the way, with people's behaviours in their graveyards across the Midlands. Mary has texted in as well to say, Ronan, a cemetery near Burr, a person was letting their dogs pee on people's graves. They knew what they were doing and they were elderly. It's not always young people. So interesting. Thanks very much for your text, Mary. Time for me to go now. We'll be back next Saturday with Saturday View. Talk to you then.